starting a brand new sermon series today. It's called Unstoppable God. And we believe that Jesus is the God who cannot be stopped, right? And we're going to see him on display in the scriptures, continuing to do miracles, continuing to change the game, continuing to set people free and ultimately make his way to the cross, to the empty tomb, to the ascension. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be in this series. And today we're kicking off the series with a sermon that I really feel like is personal and also at the same time helpful for everybody in the room. I think that there's going to be somebody who's able to relate to this topic. And so before we jump into it, I want to just put a few graphics on the screen to help me shape the title of the message here today. And maybe when you see these graphics, I hope they don't spark any type of traumatic feelings, because that's not my intention, but they are a bit deep. Let me go ahead and show you the first one here on the screen. This is Mufasa and Scar. I know this scene is terrible. It's tragic, all right? And if you've never seen Lion King, shame on you, all right? Come on. Need to catch up with the movie scene. I'm just playing. I'm not endorsing anything. But this was a moment where you find Mufasa betrayed by Scar, thinking that they're in relationship, thinking that they're going to be walking together. Suddenly, he pulls the rug up underneath him and leads to Mufasa's death. Let me give you one more scene that maybe comes from a movie, Frozen, right? You see this idiot, Prince Hans, right? He betrays Anna. And what does he say there in that moment? He says, "If only somebody actually truly loved you," right? And he walks away in that moment, and he was pretending to be somebody that whole time that he wasn't. I don't know if you've ever had somebody in your life that switched up on you in some way or was pretending to be some type of way, but it ended up in a season of betrayal, and you can relate to at least the feelings of that. Let me give you one more picture here up on the screen. This is Luka in the Lakers jersey. What is going on right now? I think that's how he was looking when he got the phone call, like, wait, what? Leads the Mavericks to a championship run last year. Next thing you know, I read a headline, one of the sports articles just says, "Mavericks betray Luka." And so you never know how things play out in life, but sometimes you end up with another jersey on, all right? But I just was going to say today, just through a few graphics, I could have went to a lot of different pictures to try to display, betrayal happens in life. Can I just say, if you live life long enough, if you go to church long enough, if you surround yourself with people long enough, you'll realize people will let you down. It's going to happen, but you have the choice on how to respond. And here in the scriptures in John chapter 13, we're going to look at Jesus in a moment where he experienced betrayal and how he responded. In fact, throughout the Bible, you'll see this topic on display, right? Joseph in the beginning of the book of Genesis, right? Or toward the tail end, you'll find him and his brothers. Joseph had several brothers. His father had given him this beautiful, colorful coat. And next thing you know, they pushed him in a pit and left him for dead. His own brothers did that. Another story in the book of Genesis, you'll find this cat named Jacob. And Jacob had a brother named Esau. And Jacob, in one moment, right, is actually disguising himself, dressing up like he's his brother in order to try to steal his blessing from his father, who was weak and old in age. You got a lady named Delilah in the scriptures who deceives her boyfriend, Samson, by cutting off his hair while he's sleeping. And he had confided in her that was part of his strength, right? Saul is betrayed by David, and then David is also betrayed as well by Saul. In another moment, David, while he's the king of Israel, is supposed to be out in battle, but instead he betrays his commander in charge there, Uriah, and puts him up front so that he would be killed first in an act of cowardly betrayal. In another moment, you find Absalom, David, one of David's sons, rises up and then tries to betray his dad. And the list goes on of moments throughout the scriptures. Now, if it happened in the Bible, can I just say that these are real stories? And don't be surprised when stuff happens to you. Amen? I just believe that the Bible is relevant for our seasons. And you'll probably see a moment in your journey where something like this may indeed happen. And I believe the scriptures give us a recipe and some good instructions on how to respond. So let's look at King Jesus here in John 13. We're going to focus on the last several hours that lead up to Jesus going to the cross, which leads to his resurrection on April 20th when we celebrate Easter Sunday, and then the following week, Ascension Sunday. And so we're going to just focus in on the passion of our Lord and Savior. Let's now travel to the upper room where Jesus institutes the Last Supper, and we'll look at John's record of this in John 13. So if you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
If you're hungry, say let's eat.
Let's eat.
Let's eat. Well, Heavenly Father, we're ready to eat from your word now. So God, would you speak to us today? I just want to invite everybody to pray your own prayer. Just ask the Lord to speak to you. Just ask him. Just say, Lord, I need to hear you today. So speak. Teach us. I'm listening. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start all the way back in John 13, verse 21, all right? So I want you to try to put yourself in the room. Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet in a powerful act of humility. And now we move into this moment, verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Bum, bum, bum. Like, what a moment right there, right? The room shifted, the energy. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, which we know as John, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" What a weird moment right there, right? Just want to just try to put ourselves in the text, put yourself in the room. Jesus says, "One of you will betray me." And then Peter, kind of being the big mouth disciple, says, "Psh, hey, John, ask him who, ask him who." And John leans over and says, "Jesus, who?" Right? What a moment we just caught there. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Verse 30. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." He continues and says, "And God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." That's a deep verse right there. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? Peter sounds like one of my kids, right? We were at Adventure Dome for one of my birthday last night, and one of my boys was like, hey, Dad, can I ride this ride? We're like, son, I'm sorry, you're not tall enough. We go to the next one, like, you're still not tall enough, right? It's like, man, Peter said, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. This is the word of the Lord here today. I want to preach a message to you that I'm titling, Betrayal Couldn't Stop Him. Amen?
Amen.
Betrayal couldn't stop him. Jesus was accustomed to the feelings of betrayal. In fact, on this one night, powerful night, the Last Supper, Jesus is betrayed by one of his 12 disciples who he had walked with for the past 3 years and lied to by one of his close disciples, Peter, who said, I'll never deny you. And Jesus goes, you're about to, three times in one setting. Jesus knows the feeling of rejection. He knows the feelings of being lied to. He knows the feelings of people being fake with him. He knows the feelings of betrayal. Yet Jesus at the same time models for us how to navigate life when betrayal happens. And that's what I want us to look at here today. How do we have the mindset of Jesus when moments like this occur in our lives? The first point that I want us to see here from the scriptures is that betrayal didn't stop Jesus. It glorified Jesus. Think about that for a second. When Jesus in the scriptures is betrayed, it didn't stop him. In fact, it led to glory. Look what Jesus says in John 13, verse 31. When he had gone out, right? Judas had just dipped the morsel, or Jesus had dipped the morsel, gave it to Judas, then Judas exits the room. Now, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. I'm grateful that when Judas had gone out, Jesus didn't crash out, as the youth oftentimes say, right? That Jesus, right, he doesn't flip the table over. He doesn't start getting angry. He doesn't start gossiping or speaking negatively about Judas. He doesn't make a big old scene here. I noticed that Jesus is calm and Jesus points to God's glory. I think we can learn from this, church. Betrayal didn't stop Jesus. It glorified Jesus. It says, when he had gone out, here's what Jesus says. Now the Son of Man is glorified. Listen, look at the perspective of Christ. I think Jesus recognized that this moment was part of God's bigger plan and God's bigger purpose. He also recognized that this individual, Judas, was coming up on a new chapter in the story, which was also leading to God's glory. I think Jesus also recognized that it was more glorious to have Judas, who didn't have the right heart posture for the Lord and for the kingdom, to no longer be on the team. This is called addition by subtraction. Amen? Right? Sometimes God needs to remove people from your lives in order to get more glory in your life. Sometimes there'll be a subtraction. I was going to clap with somebody who felt that. There'll be a subtraction from your life, and you're trying to figure it out, but God knows that this is actually addition for your life. Come on, right? Listen, you don't need to continue holding on to somebody that's not holding on to you, right? Sometimes you got to let somebody go. Right? And what Jesus models here is, you know what? Just because this person unfollowed me, hello, it's not going to be the end of the world. In fact, it's okay. I know too many people that are going through their follower list, trying to figure out who unfollowed you and who followed you. Friend, that's a lot of wasted time. Here's what you can know. If somebody unfollows you, it might be for God's greater glory. You don't have to stress about it. You don't have to worry about it. In fact, you could say, God, you must have a plan and this must lead to your glory, because I believe Romans 8:28 is true. Right. And that verse says this: God is working all things together for your good and his glory. Amen. Right? For those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. Today, if you love God, but you're experiencing betrayal, just know God's working it out. And you can have this perspective that, you know what, this person may no longer be with us, or may no longer be in my friend circle, or be a part of my community. However, it's okay. And I think Jesus models for us that is the reality. He had this bigger picture, and I want to encourage you to have the mindset of Christ. It reminds me of a puzzle. I don't know if we got any people that do puzzles here in the room. It's 2025. Maybe you do things that are quicker than puzzles. But I grabbed a random picture of a puzzle. And I believe that God has a box of a puzzle that has this beautiful, crazy, all types of stuff going on picture for each one of our lives. And can I just tell you, God is able to see the whole box. He's able to see the whole picture. Oftentimes, we can only see the piece next to us. So you might be like this piece right here, and you're like, hey, how come there's like a random leg right here? What's up with that? Or like, how come I don't know the rest of the commentary in this piece? I can't figure it out. But here's what you just got to know. God's able to see it. So he knows what the puzzle looks like, and he knows the next step. And he knows the next piece. Here's what you just got to know. One piece is connected to another piece. You might not know why. You might be like, hey, how come another blue piece is coming? Well, because God's building the sky, right? You might not understand why all the pieces in your life are connected to you or disconnected from you. Just know that there's a picture that God's creating, and you got to trust the author and the perfecter to do what he does. Amen. You got to trust him to do what he does. Look, God, I don't know why all these pieces are connected to me. I just trust your picture. And I don't know why these pieces aren't, but I'm not going to try to force it or fit it or jam it. You ever seen a broken puzzle piece, right? It's hard. It messes up the picture a little bit. Don't force it. Do you notice Jesus, he doesn't leave the room and say, Judas, come back. No, Judas. No, he says, actually, this is part of God's glory. Wait, Judas, what are we going to do without you? No, this is part of God's glory. No, Judas, let's make a deal. No, this is part of God's glory. So sometimes people will come into your life and it could be for God's glory. Sometimes people will exit your life. It could be for God's glory, right? And I just want you to be encouraged today. Have a glory-focused mentality. Say, God, my prayer is that though this situation didn't end like I wanted it to, though this situation got weird at some point, listen, I just pray you'd be glorified through it. I think that's the mindset of Christ here in the scriptures. I know that when we first planted Walk Church, I had all of these different mentors and coaches just tell me, they said, hey, Hayden, here's what you got to know. The same team that started with you won't finish with you. And it's not always for bad reasons. Sometimes people move. Sometimes it's good reasons. Sometimes it's other fit, kingdom stuff. It's all good. But just don't get too attached to everybody because they're not yours to begin with. What you got to realize is that it's God's puzzle. Steward the season. Amen. And trust God for greater glory. He knows what he's doing. The second point, be encouraged on this. Betrayal didn't change Jesus's message. It reinforced it. Where the betrayal happens, Judas leaves. He, for 30 shekels of silver, he makes this poor choice, right, to ultimately tell on Jesus in such a way that would lead to his false accusations of capturing, which heads to the cross. And God, in his sovereignty, knows that he's going to use all of this to kick the devil in the face to save sinners like us. But at the time, it's very challenging. It's very interesting. It's very deep and real. But what I notice about Jesus is he doesn't change his message when this happens. Because I think that the flesh, it could be tempting when you get betrayed to just start tripping. And start talking bad and change your message and say, no, we're going to get revenge. I want to retaliate because this person betrayed me, so I'm going to be passive aggressive on social media against them. I'm going to make subliminal posts. I'm going to talk bad about them and hope it gets back to them. This is not what Jesus does. And he's our standard. Amen. Amen. He's our model here. Look at what Jesus says in John 13, verse 34 and 35. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people," somebody say all people. "All people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Now, Jesus had been consistent talking about the love of the Father. In fact, he had given this command, the greatest commandment of all, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, right? But here, Jesus takes that a little bit further, and he says, actually, I'm going to give you a new command. A new command I give to you, love one another just as I have loved you. Did you see how he switched it? Yeah. I think because part of the reason why that's important is because a lot of people really don't love themselves, don't even like themselves, struggle with themselves, so they respond to their neighbor the way that they feel about themselves. And so that type of love is not working. That's why people are so mean. And so Jesus says, all right, let me go ahead and give you a new commandment. Love people how I love you. And this is a homework assignment. If you get a chance, I'm not even going to say if, when you get a chance, because you're going to get a chance in the next 24 to 72 hours. I want you to find a moment, get you a journal, a notepad. You can use the notepad on your phone if you want. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to just start writing down all the ways that God loves you. Just start, God loves me by, and just start listing them, being patient with me, forgiving me. Look, Jesus spoke his love to his disciples through his words. Jesus showed his love to his disciples through his actions. Jesus served his love, right? Mark 10 says the Son of Man didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Greater love is none than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus forgave with love. How much times has Jesus forgiven you? Let me just tell you, 7 times 77 times 7,177 times. Listen, you know how much forgiveness you need? As much as you need, right? I'm just grateful that it doesn't run out, that his mercies are new every single morning. And so Jesus says, as you reflect and do some inventory on the love of Christ for you, that's the standard that he calls you to love one another. But remember the setting. What's the setting here? The setting here is not Jesus hitting the game-winning shot and now he's doing the interview and saying, hey, God is good. No, no. The setting is in the upper room, about to go to the cross, just got betrayed and just got lied to. And Jesus goes, let me tell you my response. One, God's going to get glory. Two, love people. He takes this as a moment to demonstrate radical love. Now, the word love here that Jesus uses is the word agape. It's the Greek word for love that means unconditional, without limits, not a flesh type of love, not a worldly love, not a transactional love. You know what a transaction love is? Is I'll love you as long as you do this. And if you don't do that, then my love will change. Agape love says, I'm going the distance. This type of love is not dependent on what you do. It's dependent on what I choose to do. It's a choosing love. It goes beyond emotions. This is not a love that you can fall into or fall out of. It's saying, I'm choosing to love you regardless. That's what Jesus says. He goes, that's how I've loved you. Now, brothers and sisters, here's the challenge. He says, I'm challenging you to love one another as I have loved you. So listen to this. I'm gonna step on some toes here for a minute, including my own. Yeah. When somebody betrays you, choose love. When somebody turns their back on you, when somebody does the thing that you were hoping they wouldn't do, choose to love them through it. I'm not saying that you need to be their best friend. I'm not saying that the relationship won't change. What I am saying is you have the decision on what to choose. And I want to encourage you to take Jesus's message in John 13. When he was betrayed, he chose to love still. Amen. When he was lied to, he says, you know what, Peter? That's actually not true. You're going to deny me three times, and yet I'm still going to use you in the book of Acts to start a revival. I love you that much. And what is Jesus's conversation with Peter look like in John 21 when he restores him back to ministry? He says, Peter, do you love me? I think that's the question. It's that Jesus is interested in a love relationship with his disciples, and his love goes to us and his love goes through us. That's why I think we should love people in the highs and the lows. Amen. We should love people in the ups and the downs. We should love people in the good times. We should love people in the bad times. And we should love people with grace and truth. Why? Because that's how Jesus loves us. Amen. His standard of love is what he describes here. I think it's important to take note of that. One other picture of this I find in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 24, and this is in a moment where Jesus is unpacking to his disciples some eschatology, right? It's a big word for the study of the end times. And so Jesus in Matthew 24 is talking about, here's what's going to happen when he's getting ready to come back, when the world is getting ready to end and it's going to be challenging days. What's going to happen in the last days? Well, Jesus gives some commentary to that in Matthew 24. Notice what he says. He says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Right? Go back one verse real quick, media team. I want you to see that real quick. If you've never experienced any type of betrayal, it's going to happen. It's coming around the corner. I hate to tell you that. Spoiler alert. But at some point, Jesus says, this is some of the evidence of what's to come. Many will fall away and betray one another and even hate one another. I wish I had better news for you. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Don't get led astray, please. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Amen? And so I was looking at this passage, and this phrase just began to kind of highlight in my own soul. And here it is. The love of many will grow cold. When betrayal happens, when deception and hatred and persecution happens, and when challenging days happen, come on, Walk Church, here's my prayer for you. Here's my question for you. Here's my application. Can I give you a sermon application? Yeah. I'm going to put this sermon application up on the screen. Here's that sermon application. Don't let your love grow cold when it happens. Come on. Would you just do me a favor? Would you look at the person next to you, even make it weird for a second, and say, don't let your love grow cold. Don't let your love grow cold. Come on. Don't let your love grow cold. Online, come on, look at me. Put it in the chat. Don't let your love grow cold. Church, hear me on this. I want to be authentic. I want to be honest. If you go to this church long enough, come on, give me some eye contact for a second.
Yeah.
If you go to this church, if you go to the Join the Family class, if you get plugged in, if you go to a charge group long enough, if you go to any church long enough, listen to me, somebody's going to let you down.
Right.
It might just be me. And sometimes people know it. Sometimes people don't know it. Sometimes people are even unaware. Listen, it's going to happen. But when it happens, don't let your love grow cold. Learn from Jesus here in the upper room where he says, listen, don't let your love. Somebody sent me a meme this week. I thought it was hilarious and true. It says, McDonald's gets your order wrong every single time, and you keep going back. You go to church, somebody lets you down once, and you say, I'm not going back to that church ever again. Come on. Come on. Don't let your love grow cold. Don't let your love grow cold. Come on, you need to warm your heart with the love of Jesus. That's why he says, love people the way I've loved you. Don't forget about how I've loved you. That draw from the well of how much he's loved you, right? According to the riches of his love and his kindness, and pull from that well. Don't let your heart, don't let your love grow cold. It's going to happen, but I think when that happens, I want you to war against. See what happens? Judas leaves, right? What's the difference between Judas and Peter, right? Judas betrays Jesus and leaves. Peter denies Jesus three times and uses curse words. We don't know exactly what words he used, but it was some beep, beep words. Come on, right? Yeah, he was a fisherman, right? So we find they're in similar situations. They both run off, right? I mean, shortly after this, right, Jesus is taken away, and Peter's kind of following behind, and this young girl recognizes Peter and says, yo, Peter, you're the one who follows the Galilean. And Peter goes, psh, I don't know him. And she goes, yeah, that is you. You're part of the 12. You're the one who walked on water. And he goes, beep, 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 I don't know him. And she goes, yeah, look, look, guys, that's Peter. That's the one of the disciples. And then he just says it very emphatically again. I don't know Jesus. And then he makes eye contact with Jesus. And the rooster crows. And then Peter begins to weep and cry. And he runs away. He runs off weeping. So you got Judas, who also ran away, and he threw the money back at the Pharisees who he received from. What's the difference between Peter and Judas? They both have betrayed and lied and hindered trust with Jesus. I think the difference between Peter and Judas is repentance, right? Where Peter came back into a right relationship with Jesus, Judas tragically, sadly killed himself, which is very dark and which is very sad. And I just want to encourage you today, if you're in a place of darkness or you're in a place of hardship and you just feel stuck and don't know what to do, come on, I would encourage you to learn from Peter here. There's always hope in the gospel. Come on. You can always come back home. You can always make it right with God. In fact, I don't think God is moved even when you move. I think he's still there ready to receive and ready to heal and ready to make things right. It doesn't mean that in this life you're not going to get let down. In fact, I'm telling you, you will. Let me give you one more verse. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Paul writing to his disciple Timothy, and here's the instruction he gives him. 2 Timothy 3, 12, he says, indeed, come on, read this with me. Ready, set, go. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Man, you know, amens on that one right there, right? And it doesn't say might be. It doesn't say could be. It doesn't say that maybe. It says, no, it's going to happen. Right. Like, this is one of those promises in the word as well. So if you really desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, start walking out your faith. Let me just tell you, persecution is going to happen. It's going to happen within the world. It might happen in the workplace. It might happen within family. It might happen. People, not everybody's going to understand the new you. Tell them, say the old me expired, right? I'm a new creation in Christ, right? I'm walking it out. Especially if you get baptized, right? Which is you just publicly declaring, I'm a new creation. Old is gone. The new has come. Listen, expect the persecution, but don't let your love grow cold. I think one of the reasons why in the Last Supper, when Judas betrayed Jesus, is when Jesus chose to institute what's called the Lord's Supper, also known as communion. And what does he do? Well, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul gives us a picture of what happened there on that night when he lifts up the cup and he lifts up the bread and he says, this bread is representative of my body, which is broken for you. And this cup is representative of my blood, which is poured out for the sins of many. And he says, as often as you approach the communion table, what does he say? Do this in remembrance of me. Come on, can we just put that up here on the screen really quick? I want to show you that verse in 1 Corinthians where Jesus is clearly communicating, right? When he took the bread, on the night when he was betrayed, how did Jesus respond when he was betrayed? Listen, this is how he responded. He found God's glory in it. He chose love in it. He reiterated his message in it. He took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way he took the cup after supper, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And when you come to the communion tables, he doesn't say, "Remember your sins." He just says, "Remember him." The key, do you know why we do communion? So you don't let your love grow cold. We do communion on the first Sunday of every month. Why? So that you don't let your love grow cold. What's the purpose of looking at the communion packet? So that you can see what Jesus did for you. Maybe you've grown cold toward the gospel. Communion's supposed to warm you back up. That's why we do it. Don't let your love grow cold. One of my other favorite verses when it comes to the topic of love is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5. And here's what Jesus says in Proverbs 27. I want us to just look at this. In fact, this is Solomon writing, inspired by the Lord. And here's what he says. Come on, read it with me. Ready, set, go. "Better is an open rebuke than hidden love." Now, I really wanted to share this verse today because I think that there's this temptation when we think about, what do you mean when you say choose love? What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. To respond the way Jesus loves you. But can I just tell you, Jesus isn't a silent savior. He's a God who speaks. In fact, rebuke, better, it actually says better. Don't get bitter, get better. Amen? Get better, right? Better is an open rebuke. And so rebuke means to correct somebody. Now, the scripture doesn't say better is a harsh rebuke, but an open rebuke. I think we need to be open with one another, not closed. Right. Open to a conversation. Open to a next step. Watch this. Open to being wrong. Yeah. Open to missing it sometimes. Open to extending forgiveness. Open to receiving forgiveness. This is the Christian life. This is how we move. This is how we walk. This is how we apply the teachings of Jesus. I think that one day everybody... Just hear me on this, church. This is my theological conviction, is that everybody will one day get to heaven. However, not everyone will stay in heaven. And I believe that because Philippians 2 says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I would encourage you, don't wait. Just go ahead and make that happen now, right? If you're debating on that, oh, it's going to happen someday because Jesus is who he says he is. And one day you'll see him in his glory. But it's in that moment, Revelation teaches us that there'll be a great white throne room judgment. And it's in that moment, either you'll have the right math, which is Jesus plus nothing equals enough, which will be more than enough to get you into eternity in heaven. Or you'll have plus signs. Listen, it's almost like a password. Anybody like get frustrated with passwords? Gosh, try to put your password in and it kicks you out. Try to put your password in, makes you put a little code in. Try to push, reset your password. Listen, can I just tell you, the password to heaven is Jesus.
Amen. Sir. Yeah.
That's it. That'll get you through, right? A right relationship with Jesus by faith is the password. But listen, here's my point. Don't get up to heaven and be standing there and have somebody that was on your team, in your neighborhood, a family member, and you know the password, and you hear Jesus say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into my courts with gladness," right? My son or daughter. And then somebody next to you goes, "Wait, hold on. That whole time you knew, and you never told me?" And you got one of your friends, one of your neighbors, putting in the wrong password, working hard. I just want to tell you today, it's not loving to not speak. It's not loving to have the truth, to have the good news, and to never share it. It's not loving to know somebody is ruining their life because of sin and to not say nothing. And I think Proverbs chapter 27 hits on something there. If we can look at that verse one more time, I think there's too many people that are hiding their love in the name of not speaking. Hey, I didn't want to say anything to you, you know, just because, you know, I didn't want to be that guy. I love you, so I didn't want to even offend you. Some people need to be offended in the name of love. Like, if sin is ruining somebody's life, love them enough to say, stop sinning. Somebody's making poor choices, love them enough to say, hey, that's not the best move. In fact, I believe we grow up when we speak up. And don't be afraid to love somebody with your words, but love somebody in a real way, not just in a harsh way. Amen? Jesus loved with grace and truth. And I think that's the right posture. Let me give you the third and final point, and this will be a quick point before we close. Betrayal didn't stop Jesus, so don't let it stop you. Amen? Just want to remind you, betrayal happens. It didn't stop Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you for going to the cross even after you were betrayed. Betrayal didn't stop Jesus. So don't let it stop you. Right? John 13, 36, Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you've denied me three times. I think what I catch from there that I think is important for us to hear is, let's just make sure we're all examining our hearts today and making sure we're not the Peter there. We're not the Judas in the story, right? And today, where we're giving them a hard time, but examine yourself, amen? And say, hey, how am I doing in my own walk with Jesus? And here's what you got to know. Betrayal didn't stop. Don't let it stop you. I just want to encourage you. Don't stop coming. Don't stop growing. Don't stop showing up. Don't stop charging up. Don't stop opening the word. Amen. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Even when hard things happen, when betrayal happens, the thing I love about Peter is he kept showing up. He said, you know what? When I see Jesus again, I'm running out this boat and I'm going to run through the water and I'm going to fall at my knees to see him again. Don't stop showing up, amen? Jesus didn't let betrayal stop him, so don't let it stop you. This is the mindset. This is the mindset of how to deal with betrayal. Number one, give it to God for his glory. God, be glorified through the struggle. Somebody unfollowed me. Well, you know what, God? Let it be for your glory. I'm going to choose love, and I'm not going to let it stop me. That's the mindset of Jesus, amen? Now watch this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the scripture teaches us that we have the mind of Christ. So because you have the mind of Christ, as it says, right? But we have the mind of Christ. So take off the flesh, put it on the bench, put on the mind of Christ and say, okay, Jesus, how should I deal with this reality, this situation, this circumstance? I'm going to deal with it with the mind of Christ. And God will bless that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're gathered here today to pray, to seek you first. And God, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters here in the room. I ask you right now, Jesus, to continue to do a great work through each and every person here today. God, don't let them grow weary, even when betrayal happens. Thank you, Jesus, that it didn't stop you and that it won't stop us. If you're here today and you haven't put your faith in Jesus, I want to invite you to do just that. Maybe you came into this room today seeking, searching. One of our students who got baptized today said he was dealing with witchcraft and all types of different thoughts and beliefs about the universe. But then when he heard about Jesus, he heard about the grace and the kindness of God and said, you know what, I'm ready to be saved. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're ready to be saved. Well, you can do that by calling on his name in this moment right now. If that's you and you're here, would you just lift your hand with all heads bowed and all eyes closed? I just want to identify with anybody who's ready to make that decision. God, I pray for those who have their hand up. And God, I just pray right now for those who have their hands up. Would you just pray this prayer with me? It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of receiving Jesus. Just say, Lord. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. And I'm ready to follow you. Help me now. I trust you. I love you. Thank you for loving me first. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm ready to follow you. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate that?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. I just want to pray one more prayer. Just pray with me one more time. I know we're doing a lot of praying right now, but just stay here with me. I just want to talk to everybody in the room as well. Maybe if you're a believer, or even if you're not a believer, but you're dealing with betrayal, the wounds, the scars, the pain, the trauma of somebody walking out of your life and hindering you. Somebody choosing a different route. And you're here today and it feels heavy. That's a real feeling. And maybe at times you struggle with the reality of betrayal. Would you just lift your hand if that's where you're at today? Just in a spirit of humility. There's a lot of hands up in the room today. God, I just pray for everybody who has a hand up. God, I pray that you would lock arms with each one of them by your grace. And God, you would help them right now to navigate through the betrayal. God, would they have the mind of Jesus? Would they not grow cold in their love? And God, would you wrap them in your arms right now and remind them that you're fighting for them, not fighting against them? Jesus, I pray that you would do a great work in their lives that results in greater freedom and greater shalom, peace. God, would you help them do it? Holy Spirit, would you comfort them in this time? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.